Okay, can we turn now to Ruth chapter 2? This is the third in a rather scattered about series of on Ruth. We had one in May and one in June, and this is the third instalment. Just a little recap. The events described in the book of Ruth took place towards the end of the time of Judges, which was by and large a time of great wickedness. The book of Judges closes with the words, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Now Ruth is not an Israelite. She's a Moabitess living in her homeland of Moab. Naomi and Elimelech are an Israelite couple who moved to Moab with their two sons because of famine. The sons marry Ruth and another Moabitess named Orpah. Then Elimelech and the two sons die in Moab, and Naomi returns to Bethlehem with Ruth, effectively destitute. She's totally reliant upon the Lord for sustenance. Naomi describes herself at the end of chapter 1 as being empty. She's nothing left. The faith of and kindness of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz that we read about in the book of Ruth is contrasted sharply with the general behaviour of the Israelites at the time. So although there were dark days, there were faithful people. And what we see throughout the story is the Lord God caring for Ruth and Naomi during their time of great difficulty. Now, we left off last time with verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2. And in chapter 2 is the first occasion on which Ruth and Boaz meet. Ruth doesn't know at all who he is. Boaz has some idea once his servants tell him that it's Naomi, that it's Ruth who's come back with Naomi. Then he knows about her. So I'm reading initially the verse 11 and 12, which we've already covered, but just to by way of reminder. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. "But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" And now we see, this evening we're going to first consider Ruth's response to these words from Boaz. So, picking up in verse 13, "Then she said, 'I have found favour in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. So, we're aware that Ruth has been able to glean in the fields as was required by God's law, that the corners of the fields weren't to be harvested, and any bits that were missed were to be left for the stranger and the poor to be able to support themselves. But obviously, Boaz's servants got more than that. They weren't the left just to glean what was left over. They had their own additional provisions. So Naomi's saying that she's not actually one of his servants, and therefore the extra kindness and that he's shown towards her is she's recognizing that that goes beyond what the law requires. Boaz noticed Ruth earlier in the chapter and asked who she was. He asked who the young woman was. Now, one commentary I read said, Ruth must have been pretty. And I don't know how he came to that conclusion, because throughout the narrative, we're never told this. In fact, through the whole book, we read much more about the character and deeds of Ruth and the character and deeds of Naomi and Boaz. But we don't really read anything about the physical appearance. Perhaps she was pretty, but I don't think that that's what the point is being that's being made. She may not have been pretty. It's not the Book of Ruth is not about physical appearance. A verse we considered recently at the house group at Jake and Danny's was 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Well, if Ruth and Boaz did look at each other's outward appearance, Scripture does not mention it. All we do know about the physical characteristics is that Boaz was somewhat older, perhaps a generation older. In chapter 2, verse 5, he calls Ruth a young woman. And although we do have a natural tendency to judge people by outward appearance, this isn't what God does, and it's not what we are to do as God's people. We are to bear the likeness of Christ, as Ruth and Boaz do here. The extent to which we do judge people should be by as God does, by the heart. Although we don't have the knowledge of one another's hearts in the way that God does. Moving on to verse 14. I've given this a little subheading, the dinner date. Verse 14, and at mealtime Boaz said to her, come and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also plough some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean. Do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I didn't know what an ephah was. I knew it was a unit of measurement, but I didn't know what it was, so I looked it up, and it tells me it's about 4.5 gallons. So if you imagine a gallon bucket, it's 4.5 buckets of grain, or a little over 20 litres. If you got 4 litres of milk, it's 5 of them. So that's the sort of quantity that she managed to glean in the day. It's the So the generosity of Boaz is emphasised again, both in making sure that Ruth has more than enough to eat at the meal, and then also in providing much more than Ruth was entitled to or expecting, in that she'd be, so she never imagined that she'd be able to collect that amount of grain in a day. And certainly that Naomi's reaction later, she didn't expect this to be possible. So Boaz is generous in those two aspects, in providing at the meal and then afterwards too. And notice how he was passing her roasted grain, as it says in verse 14. He's not using his servants to do it, or, you know, it's not beneath him by any means. Now, remember Boaz's statement in verse 12, which is effectively a prayer, when he says, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Now, as I mentioned last time, Boaz is, in fact, the answer to this prayer. He's asked the Lord that Ruth should be rewarded, and it's Boaz himself that at this point is providing that reward. He's providing her with a way of life, a living, if you like, a means of them not starving. And we considered last time that when we pray and ask the Lord for things, we should consider whether perhaps we are the answer to that prayer. When we pray for the gospel to be proclaimed, perhaps it's us that should be doing it. Now, as we move on in chapter 2, we get a hint that not only is Boaz the answer to his own prayer thus far, but there might be more to come. Verse 18, this is Ruth, and so she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Now, by the living, I'm assuming, and I take that as meaning his kindness to Ruth and Naomi, and the dead, I'm taking as being his kindness to Elimelech and the two dead sons, in that he's being kind to by supporting their dependence. And when he says, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead, I see the possible implication here that Boaz has been kind to the family before. He's not stopped being kind to Elimelech and the boy and the sons. Now that they're dead, he's carrying on being kind to them. The kindness of Boaz that's spelled out in chapter 2 is his kindness to Ruth. And we could be mistaken for thinking that this was perhaps a ploy to win her over. However, I think from Naomi's words that this in verse 20 that I've just been speaking about, that it goes beyond that. Boaz was in the habit of showing kindness. And this kindness of Boaz is a reminder to us of what God is like. Those verses, two of the verses I read from Lamentations earlier, chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, these tell us what God is like. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That's what God is like. Then Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. I think I mentioned perhaps last time that Ruth was quite brave going out gleaning in a field, because this was a risky business. And this is highlighted by Naomi here. If you'd gone to another field, you might be assaulted, she says. So what we see is the Lord's provision for Ruth and Naomi through the hand of Boaz continues for some weeks or months, I don't quite know, but it continues for the rest of the barley and wheat harvests. I'm not sure how long that is, but for some time they continue to enjoy this, the Lord's provision through Boaz. There are hints, now that Naomi finally reveals to Ruth that who Boaz actually is, that he's a kinsman redeemer, a close relative. Ruth finally knows who this man is that's been so kind to her. That's the end of chapter 2. I think I'll leave chapter 3 till next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we do thank you for this faithful, true story of these people, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. We thank you that we can see in them something of how you would have us live, to trust in you, to rely on you, as Ruth did, and as Naomi did, and to show kindness, as all of them did. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that you will grant us the grace by which we might show these aspects of your character to those around us. Grant that we might be kind and generous to those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.